Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Go Loud presents Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast.
Hi, my name is Mary. I had heard about the benefits of CBD oil from a friend and decided to give it a try. At the time, we had both hit the menopause and had begun taking HRT to alleviate our symptoms. Unfortunately, we still had issues with our sleep quality and its duration. I've definitely seen a vast improvement in the last few months. I'm sleeping much better and hardly experience any sleep terrors. I would really recommend trying CBD oil in conjunction with your HRT.
And if you would like to get your hands on some CBD oil, our show sponsors are Greenheart CBD, and they're offering our listeners and followers a very special 20% discount on all CBD products. So all you have to do is go to their website, greenheartcbd.ie, find what you're looking for, and then at checkout, you use the promo code 2022 for a special 20% discount. So you go to greenheartcbd.ie, find whatever product you're looking for, and then at checkout, use the promo code PODCAST2022. In exactly an hour's time, schools all across Ireland will observe a minute's silence in memory of Aisling Murphy. Now, this gathered a very mixed reaction online over the last 18 hours, with many people believing that it's inappropriate to involve children in this and that young children shouldn't have to know about this or even try to understand it. Here are just a few examples of some of the comments that appeared online on both our Facebook page and elsewhere. One user wrote, "As a teacher of infants only, the children will not be involved. The staff are going to reflect together, and I believe that this is the aim of this. Young children will not understand and shouldn't be expected to." Another user wrote, "I don't think this is appropriate for young kids at all. Bad enough the children in Aisling School have to deal with it, or that there will be children there already who could be dealing with violence in their lives." And one final message says, "This is a terrible idea for primary schools. I have lots of traditionally uncomfortable conversations with my daughter, but making her aware of teachers being murdered shatters her innocence." Now, as I said, they are just some of the comments that we came across last night. On the flip side, a lot of people applauded the idea of having a minute's silence in Irish schools at 11 o'clock this morning, found it a lovely idea, a very fitting tribute because Aisling was indeed a teacher and loved her students. So right now, on Opinions Matter, we want to know how you feel about this. Do you agree with the comments that I've just read out? Is it inappropriate, and is it shattering their innocence? Or do you actually think it is a lovely tribute and an important thing to do? How do you feel about the fact that your child will most likely be observing a minute silence at 11 o'clock this morning, along with the rest of the country? I'd love to hear from you. You can send us a WhatsApp right now to 085 825 2626. Or you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to that same number, 085 825 2626. As I said, Katie is here with me today. Katie, you've young kids. They're not at school yet.
No, not at school yet.
How would you feel if they were?
It's a really, really tough one because the parents of young kids on Facebook who are understandably concerned about their kids asking questions and about what their kids will know, I think it's a lovely idea. And I personally would have no problem with my children. You know, in fact, I'd encourage it. You know, I think it's a lovely thing to do. It's a mark of respect. It's not going to do them any damage. But I think maybe it should be either kept just kids who understand it or can handle it a bit more, or it's done with the younger kids, but I mean, in a very, very, very sensitive way that they're not really told what's going on. I don't think it's appropriate to talk to a 5 or 6 year old about murder.
Can't you have a minute silence without necessarily going into the details?
If I were a parent of a school going child in primary school, that's probably the only way I would be completely okay with it, was if I had control over the information that they're being given. Because as a parent, it is our duty and it's up to us to protect them. And by protecting them, and in protecting them, that means, you know, against what's going on in the world, and inform them about what's going on. So I think, but then again, is it going to raise a lot of awkward questions? Are kids going to be going home to parents today and parents didn't want to necessarily talk to their kids about it? It's such a tough one. I'm in completely two minds myself about it. A part of me thinks, yeah, this is absolutely gorgeous thing to do for Aisling. But then at the same time, I'm like, is it putting parents in a position where they have to talk about something that could be traumatizing for a child?
And I want to kick off with a WhatsApp voice note from a teacher who sent us this message.
Good morning. This is just in relation to the minute silence that schools are being asked to observe at 11 a.m. today. Personally, as a junior end teacher, I won't be marking a minute silence, but I will be lighting a candle and saying a short prayer with my class. I won't be discussing the situation with the children. I just feel they're too young. They're too young to comprehend such a senseless act. But I do understand the thoughtfulness behind it. I think it's a nice gesture of unity and respect from the teaching community. So by all means, any classes or schools who do wish to follow through in it, I can see where they're coming from as well. Our thoughts are obviously with the Murphy family today, a day that they shouldn't have to endure. Also, we're also thinking of the principal and staff of Douro National School as well. I can't imagine what it must be like for them, what they must be going through, a very challenging time. But our thoughts are with them on this day and in the days and weeks ahead.
All right, fantastic message. Thank you very much indeed for sending that in to us. But basically what she was also saying is that primary school children are perhaps a little bit young to be observing a minute silence and all of the questions that brings.
I don't think they're too young to be observing a minute silence. I think it can be done. If it can be done in a way that, you know, they're not being told, given too much information that could potentially traumatise them or scar them, you know, I think it could be done. But it's just how they do it without bringing on a mound of questions. I think it should be up to a parent to talk to a child about something like this and to explain it in their own words.
A lot of comments coming in on this already. It's a minute silence. They're not watching an autopsy, says one message.
But is this just about the minute silence, or is it about the information behind what the reason for the minute silence?
Mm.
Is a six-year-old, you know, is it practical to give this information to a six-year-old or a seven-year-old?
Nolene says, if the president died, the schools would close, so what's the difference?
But this is a bit different. This is a teacher, and these kids all have their own teachers who they no doubt love or sometimes don't love, but they all have their own teachers so they can relate. This is a teacher. This is murder. This isn't just, you know, the death of a president. This is a young woman who was brutally murdered.
James says primary school should definitely be left out, with they're too young and unnecessary to scare them and tell them about maniac killers running around. Now, I'm sure teachers aren't going to be doing that in class today, but it's the conversation is the conversation that this creates, isn't that really it?
We received so many, like, we were inundated with messages last night on Facebook from parents who were having this conversation last night and this morning, and they themselves were asking us to talk about this because they themselves did not know how they felt about their kids during the minute silence, especially the parents of younger children. The secondary school parents, I think, they kind of say, right, they're old enough, they get it anyway, they're hearing about it anyway. But it's more the parents of the younger kids, I think, that were messaging us that were kind of unsure about. Mm.
And in fact, I just got a message in from Emer, and she says, when I was 8, we had a minute silence for 9/11. Were we too young to learn about a terror attack? I think that might be a slight bit different because it was so removed from us, where kids can relate directly to the person at the front of their classroom as their teacher.
Yeah, I remember when I was, I think I would have been about 9 or 10. And I don't know if you remember Holly and Jessica in the UK. And I remember we in the school I went to, it was a small country school. And we observed a minute's silence for when, you know, it came out that the poor girls had been murdered. And, you know, it didn't affect me. So, and I was young enough. So I don't know if by saying we shouldn't do it, we're wrapping kids in cotton wool. But definitely with the kids, the younger, the like the primary or the baby infants, senior infants, they're too young to take that information.
All right, let's bring in some calls on this. And we would love to hear from you on 085 825 2626. At 11 o'clock this morning, schools all over the country will be observing a minute's silence in memory of Aisling Murphy. It has created a mixed reaction. Nobody seems to have a problem with secondary schools, for example, observing this. But for primary schools, and particularly for younger kids, as we heard from that teacher a moment ago, as a teacher of infants only, the children will not be involved. The staff are going to reflect together, and I believe that this is the aim of this. Let's bring in some calls, and we'll go to line one. And line one is Jessica. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Jessica?
Hiya.
Well, Jessica, what's your view on this? Should particularly primary school pupils be observing this minute silence?
Absolutely, because then you get, especially if it's an all-boys school or mixed class with boys, start the conversation of treat a woman with absolute respect, or you're not a lad then, you're just a toe rag.
Okay, but is this a conversation you need to be having with 5 and 6 year old kids?
Yeah, start them early, but then it's not even just education. It depends on the household they're from. Like, they could be from a household where they treat women like dirt, and that's probably where your man who did this to Aisling was from. Like, just was told, oh, it's just a woman, like, why do they matter?
Mm. Obviously, we need to teach our kids, especially our young boys, to have respect. That goes without saying. And I agree with you that it is a conversation that we need to start with little boys at an early age. I don't know if it's a conversation we should be having with 5 and 6 year olds.
They're just too young. But then again, in saying that, I think if you can do it in a way that's very sensitive, in a way that you're not piling on information that could be traumatizing for them, I don't see the issue with just having a little minute silence. But it's just finding out how you would word it, because I think the gesture is lovely, and I think to have the mark of respect, and it is so fitting because she was a teacher. It's so fitting for schools to do it in solidarity, but it's just finding that way of doing it without creating a very upsetting situation for the kids and an even more awkward situation for the parents, because parents should be the ones to decide what their children know.
Okay, so in answer to the question, Jessica, you believe that we should be having the minutes, well, we are going to be, but that young kids should be involved in that minute silence.
Absolutely, get them started young. That's all you can do.
All
right. Can't steal them from everything.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. Edward, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Edward?
Yes, good morning, Edward. I've been listening very carefully to some of the speakers there, and I think the tragic loss of Aisling Murphy has affected us all as adults, but I think we need to be mindful about the effect that has on children. I mean, you can't just impose silence on a class full of six-year-olds and not give it some context, and the context, frankly, is horrific. There's a whole narrative here that needs to be addressed before we start doing things like that. And I think we need to think this through. I mean, they haven't learned to assimilate that type of loss like we would. They're not able to connect the dots like the rest of us. And when they look at a video of Aisling like I did on YouTube, they wouldn't probably have the same reaction, you know? They're going to ask, well, why are we being asked to stay silent? That's the question. You know, a teacher has died, and the inevitable questions follow after that. How did she die, and what happened to her? And these are all very important questions to children that make them feel safe. And that's our job as parents. Children look at the world through a different lens, let's not forget. The things that frighten them are real. There are monsters to them are real, and it's our duty as parents to reassure them that when we turn their bed and light off at night, that they are safe and that there aren't monsters. But the reality is very different, Adrian, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, the reality is very different. So, like I said, this did create a lot of reaction online last night. The principle and the idea behind having a minute silence in schools makes perfect sense. The worry is, and this is what I've been hearing from an awful lot of people, I don't think it's appropriate for young kids at all, is the message that I'm hearing from so many. Is it appropriate for younger kids? And for the sake of argument, we'll say under nines.
No, it's not at this moment. They've plenty of time to start learning about the dangers in this world. But I mean, I have a daughter who lives in Tullamore, Adrian, and even she, who is 18 years old, is now terrified. I mean, we have a suspect. I mean, I work closely with the Garda Síochána. I'm a journalist, and I mean, I get feedback from them. We still haven't got anybody arrested for this crime, and she would regularly walk along that route with her friends, but she's not going to do it now until such time as she's been reassured that he's been caught. And I think the whole of Tullamore feels that way. Every woman feels vulnerable. But what we don't want to do in saying that is bring our children into that narrative. And
yes, so it is understandable that your daughter may feel vulnerable until the individual or individuals who committed this crime are arrested and charged and so on. So that is understandable. But your point is, where it comes to young children, having this minute silence brings on the inevitable questions about how did this teacher die and so on. Word spreads as well, even with young kids, and you think we need to be protecting them from this horrific information.
We not only need to be protecting them, what we cannot do is impose silence upon them when they need to talk. And when they need to talk, they're going to talk about what happened to this poor girl. And when they do that, we have to have answers. And if we don't have the answers, they will fill in the gaps in their own mind. Their little imaginations will run riot, and you'll terrify them. It's as simple as that.
Okay, here's the question then. For younger children, do you believe that it is appropriate to be having this minute silence today?
Absolutely not. I do not. There's a time and a place for all of these things. And I think what we should do is we should grieve as adults and cry and get our anger out some other way, but without drawing the little ones into it. Because once we bring them in, we frighten them. There's nothing worse than seeing, a whole classroom of teachers upset and there's no explanation for it. And I think that's what's now happening. The whole country is upset, Adrian.
Absolutely,
I was upset.
We all were.
Yeah, and I will be upset because I'm going to be tuning into the service now very shortly at 11 o'clock. And I know that, there is going to be thousands watching this. And we've lost a sister, We've lost a beautiful woman, a talented girl. My God, the words are indescribable.
Absolutely, I agree.
To describe the state of grief that exists in this country this morning.
Okay, but having said all of that, you believe that we shouldn't be involving young children in this. They need to be protected.
I think that's totally inappropriate to do that. And I think we have a responsibility not to upset them unnecessarily.
Okay, but stay there for one second. Let me go to Emer. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Emer?
I'm with you.
Well, Emer, what did you want to say on this? You heard Edward clearly saying that he believes young children should not be involved in this minute silence. They need to be shielded and protected from this horrible, horrible information.
I mean, children should be shielded and protected from all tragedy, absolutely. But at the same point in time, we're not living in the same world where you and I grew up in. We give children access to smartphones, iPads, tablets. We give them access to the entire world by the time they're toddlers.
I don't know if children have unrestricted access to the internet at toddler age, but
Did you have a smartphone or access to the internet
a
toddler?
No.
I needed to die, and I'm in my late 20s. And I'm not judging any parents do, but what I'm saying is the world is different now than when you and I were growing up. And they do, if they want to, they can sure they'll find a way to find it much quicker.
Are you arguing that young children probably know this information about Aisling Murphy already?
I'm sure children are observant. They listen in. I'm sure they hear the news. I'm sure they hear their
parents 100%.
Speaking about
it. It's on the newspapers. It's on the radio. It's on the news. Parents have it on. Kids are in the background. A five-year-old isn't stupid. They might be small and they might look like they're not listening, but you have no idea how their brain absorbs everything. Kids are well aware of this. They know what's going on.
Now, it's up to the teacher, to do it respectfully. If they want to observe the minute silence with the class, and if the questions are there, they say, please take it up with your mummy and daddy, or unfortunately, she's just passed away, and this is the details. Your parents can, you know, mummy and daddy can let you know about it. But as that, an agent,
at the same time, they're saying ask your mummy and daddy. It is putting the parents in an awkward position if the parents have decided themselves that they would rather not speak to their children about it. You know, obviously we can't, kids who have social media and that, you can't control what they will see. But with a child 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 even, you have a lot of control over what they see and hear. Not everything, but letting your child go home to mommy and daddy and ask these questions, it's putting them in a really tough situation.
Well, Edward, let me go back to you for one second. And basically what I'm hearing here is that you can't hide everything from children, and children probably know a lot of this information already without us even realizing it.
Oh no, I wouldn't subscribe to that. I listened to the woman just talking there about, you know, having access from whatever age, very early age. That to me is not appropriate. I mean, there are very, very strict protocols.
Edward, we're not talking about having access to the internet. We're talking about they know, as in it's everywhere. I mean, people are talking about it on the streets, in the shops when they meet. It's on newspapers. It's in the radio, in the cars. It's on TV. Kids are like little sponges. They take everything in, even when you don't realise. Like the things my son, who's 2, 2 and a half, has turned around and said to me that I've not even realised that he's picked up on. Things he said to me.
Oh, I get that. No, I get that.
Kids
absolutely
are taking it
that.
All in, and they are on some level. I think all kids of, you know, a verbal age know something
mind
is going
you,
on.
Mind you, there's a message from Sorka that just came in to us, and it says, "My 6-year-old knows nothing about this death at all."
And that is brilliant.
And that's the point you're making, Edward. Eimear, what about that?
I think there's some value judgments being made here, Adrian, and I don't want to get into finger pointing at parents and how they raise their kids. That's just not for this discussion.
No, absolutely.
But I think you know, the whole subject of whether or not children should have access to the internet is anathema to any reasonable parent.
And it is a conversation for another day, but.
It is indeed, and if we look at it in the context of what we're discussing this morning, to use that as a leverage to justify talking to children is not, in my mind, right.
It mightn't be, and I like I said, I'm not coming here slamming Edward. He's right to his thoughts and his opinions, and it's absolutely valid. But what I'm saying to you is, we can't pick and choose when we want to, like, you know, we can't pick and choose, you know, how kids, how they absorb things, how they find things out.
But Eimear, let me read that message again from Sorka. My 6-year-old knows nothing about this death at all.
And that's the way it should be, Adrian. That is exactly the way I would like it to be, because children really should not be exposed to this horror. And that's what it is. Make no mistake. It is a horror. Fine, they might pick up from other parents or other bits and pieces of information, but in reality, nobody is feeding that.
What were you trying to say there?
So my 5-year-old niece is aware of it, as is my 3-year-old nephew, because the radio is on in the background. And so absolutely, I think that if her 6-year-old is not aware, amazing, fantastic, but the world that we live in, that's more of a rarity than not. And the fact of the matter is, we're all taking away from the fact that it's a minute silence just to observe. You, like Katie was talking about Holly Wells and Jessica Chaplin when she was 9 or 10 years old. I was about 6 or 7 when they passed away. We observed a minute silence. Now, you know, we were young kids, even we were young girls at the time, you know, listening to how.
Well, just out of curiosity, actually, what did you know about how those little girls died?
I remember when they were missing first, and I remember it was all that David Beckham was doing an appeal for them. And then later on at the time, we found out that it was the caretaker. That, you know, he lured them in with the dog and that he killed them. and that, you know, he
So
was,
you knew all of that information at the age of five or six, and you did as well, yeah. Katie?
I saw the interview with Ian Huntley when he was giving information that he'd seen them. I remember almost, obviously not exactly, but I remember watching it on the TV. I knew everything. And am I affected to this day? Absolutely not. I think kids, you know, at the same time we're trying to protect them, there is, you know, the other side of it. The kids are very resilient, and I don't think they take it in maybe as much as an adult. I don't think it affects kids the same way it affects adults. In saying that, I don't think we need to pile on information, but I wasn't affected long. Yes, it was sad what happened to Holly and Jessica, and but you know, it taught me a lesson. Don't go to strangers' houses. And I think that's the what my mom and my dad wanted me to learn at the time. But I mean, I was 9, 10 years old, and I knew
By the way, in that particular case, he wasn't a stranger. They knew him from the school.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is true, and that's terrifying. But my mom and my dad, I think they didn't have a problem with me watching it because I was 9 years old. They obviously felt that I could handle it, and it hasn't affected me to this day.
That you know of?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
And at the time, it didn't affect. Well, at the time, I mean, you're like, oh my God, that's so scary. But it didn't traumatize me. It didn't, you know, it didn't make me scared.
I read out a message a moment ago from Sorka about her six-year-old knows absolutely nothing about this crime, and Sorka's on the line. Sorka, other people were saying, you know, kids are sponges. They know all about this without you even realising it. You don't agree?
Okay. I can only talk about my child. She knows nothing. If you stopped her now and said, isn't it very sad about that teacher who died? She'd look at you vacantly. She hasn't a clue. I'm okay. I'm one of those, what you'd call, maybe happy-go-lucky parents. No, but you know what I mean? I don't leave the news on consistently in the house. I have the radio on. If the news comes on the radio and something comes on that I think is a little bit, I turn it off. I protect her. That's my job as my mother until she gets to a certain age is to protect her.
Okay, so let me ask you then how you feel about, is she in school today?
I sent her into school, yeah. We got to the doors and the principal actually was welcoming them in this morning.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
There was, nothing was said about any silences.
Do you know if the school is observing the minute silence?
I have no idea. Is it not something that they all have to do?
I don't think they have to. I don't think there's an obligation. I know all the teachers' unions certainly supported it, so it's something you can expect to be done.
Look, okay, to be honest with you, okay, she's six. There's some kids in her class who are five. A minute silence at their age is going to just go over their head like water off a duck's back. They're not going to know what it's for. It's hard enough to get a group of kids to stay still for a minute, and anyway.
No, well, that's very true, yeah.
Unless you're going to sit them down and tell them exactly what happened. Now, I would not like that to be done because my child doesn't know about this in any way. So I would not. Well, I don't think it would be a place for her to know about.
One of our very first callers was saying that we need to be having this conversation with the young kids.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. They're babies. Stop it.
That is, that's shattering innocence. That is shattering their innocence, talking to them about gender violence at five, 6 years old and about murder.
They're babies. They're babies.
Babies.
You know, there's a time they are only babies. Who can say, oh, well, they're in primary. They're at such a development. No, they're not. Their little brains can. Oh, my child, we've just had Christmas. She's all excited about the Easter bunny. That's their brain on. Their brain only sees these focal points. They don't see anything else.
Okay, and I do understand what you're saying about the minute silence for that young age group might just go right over their heads, but it may not either. I don't know what the setup is in most schools, but I do know, for example, one school that has a picture of Aisling Murphy at the top table in the class, and the kids are being, you know, will be able to see this photograph of this teacher. Now,
look, okay, I understand, okay. The school maybe where Aisling taught, God rest her. Yeah, I understand. They're going to ask questions. Where is the teacher? You know,
they have
to be informed.
Of course.
The rest of the schools, I understand the teachers want to mark it. That's perfect. Of course you do. You know, she was one of yours. Kids, she's not one of yours. These are children. They don't know. They don't need to know. They don't need to know about that level of violence. They don't need to be informed. They don't need to be told.
Aimer, what do you say to that? Here's a mother who's 6-year-old going into school today, knows nothing about this murder at all.
Well, you know, she's in the school. That's great. But who's to say that the rest of the children in her class don't know about it? Who's to say they're not maybe picking that up as well and have a conversation about it? Like, that's all well and good if that's your home and you want to put that shield around. multiple respect for that. But you can't control what happens when you go out into the world. Like you said, you can do your best to try and shield it, but other kids in the class might know about it. They might talk about it. They might have older siblings as well in the playground who are talking about it, maybe 8 or 9 or 10, who are aware. That's what they mean. There is that element of home with home, but if you're in a mixed environment, you can't control absolutely everything. And it's up to, as I said, it's up to the teacher to do it in a tasteful way. We are remembering a teacher who passed away. Don't need to go into the grisly details. It's all about, I'm sure teachers are smart, like they're trained to tailor their communication styles to the age group they're teaching. Like senior, if your child is a senior infant, I'm sure your child's teacher is tailoring communication to senior infants. They've hardly gone into the gory detail. What I'm saying is, just because your 6-year-old doesn't know doesn't mean that the rest of her class aren't aware and have older siblings or cousins or anything like that.
Just out of curiosity, Sorka, would you have any idea if this has been talked about? You probably wouldn't, would you?
No, I tell you what, like maybe as parents, you know, you might say, oh God, that was tragic, wasn't it? Jesus Christ, because I have a daughter who's going on 20. Might say, oh, Jesus Christ, imagine if that happened to you. You know, but it'd be like that. But it wouldn't be, you know, about, it wouldn't be talking to the kids about it, you know, because all of us as parents, the parents I know, all would be on the same mind frame that are you, that kids, babies at that age do not need to hear
this. Can I just ask you a question? We all know what happened September 11th. Now, I was 10 years old when that happened. And I remember coming out of school and my mother telling me when I got into the car, oh, something dreadful has just happened. This has just happened. And I remember going home and sitting and watching it on the news, you know. No. And I think my mother's thinking on this was, this is real life. This is happening, you know. I don't think we have to give all the gory details, but, you know, our kids not a little bit more resilient than we are giving them credit for?
I think, do you know, I suppose this is my theory on it, okay, at the moment with kids. I think, and I know Aisling's death, horrendous, okay, can't even fathom how the parents are coping, can't, okay? So clarify that. But younger kids at the moment are still trying to get through this whole, my daughter at the moment, the only thing she would talk about that she would know that, and her friends would talk about, is COVID. Has somebody got COVID? Is COVID nearly gone? Can we go on holidays? Is that nearly gone? After that, they're just kind of they're just back to Christmas toys and fairy tales. You know, I think they've had enough the past couple of years.
Okay, and you genuinely believe that they should be protected from information about an horrific crime like Aisling's murder?
At 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, okay, I'm going to put it up until confirmation age. Yes, 100%.
And just try and avoid the subject, not talk about it?
Okay, all right, okay. If they come and they talk to you, naturally always talk to your kids, 100%.
So let me ask you then, if your daughter comes home and says to you today, Mammy, there was a picture of a
minute
teacher.
A minute's silence.
All of that. How will you deal with that?
I'll just say that that teacher died and she's with the angels now.
End of.
I'll say she, and I wouldn't go into how it happened. I'd just say she had an accident. Accident is a good word, covers a lot of things. I'll say, and I know people say she's very flippant about it, but I'm protecting 6-year-old. I'll say that teacher had a bad accident and she had to go to Holy God. She's with the angels now. And that's
where
we have
a message on Facebook there from Keith, and he says, stop wrapping them in cotton wool. We live in a dangerous world, and learning, teaching them young will prepare them basically for future events.
Now, what's he mean by that? Go into the graphic detail, although we don't know
I don't think he means go into graphic detail, but I think he means, you know, we shouldn't be trying to shield kids from everything. I'm not talking about babies now, but I'm talking about kids who are a little bit older, like I was when Holly and Jessica went missing, like when the Twin Towers happened. You know, as I said, I wasn't affected. I'm sure there are many people listening now who were around the same age as me when these things happened and also haven't been affected. So where's the line between wrapping them in cotton wool and preparing them, you know?
But I think as a parent, as an individual, as an individual parent, each of us is going to make our own choice on this.
And each child is different. I think it's easy to say, you know, parents should do this, but you can have one child who's a lot more sensitive than another child. I was a very sensitive child and I still wasn't affected by it, but I was sensitive in other ways. So I think it's a case by case situation, depending on what you think the child is able for. But at the same time, I think, you know, shielding them from everything that's happened in the world, is that healthy as well?
But what I was asking was, and this is what I'm getting at with Keith's message, stop wrapping them in cotton wool, we live in a dangerous world. Do we live in such a dangerous world that we tell 6 and 7 year olds, well, actually, this teacher, God love her, she was out for a run and some man killed her?
Sorry, I don't think that's what he's getting at. I think he's just getting at, you know, you can give them enough information that the amount of information that you think they can handle and they can cope with. But it's not, you know, pretending that this didn't happen and shoving it under the carpet, because at the same time, is that not unhealthy? Is it not beneficial to teach kids at this? Children are very resilient.
Sorkin doesn't believe it's unhealthy.
I worked with children for 10 years in creches, and some of the stuff that kids would come out to you would shock you. But the one thing I learned from working with kids is that they are extremely resilient. They are so resilient. They get over stuff way quicker than we do. It affects them differently than it affects us. But I think, you know, if they're out with their friends and their friends are talking about it, you can't stop them listening and hearing about everything. And you can't, and I get what Keith means. He means you can't, basically, you can't put headphones on their ears and stop them knowing what's going on in the world.
All right, I want to bring in some more calls on this. Sorka, thanks very much indeed for your call. I'd love to hear from you on this and find out how you feel about a minute's silence being observed in schools, particularly with young children. This is Keith.
There's no harm in doing this for the kids. Look, this life and death is all around them. Like, why hide them from it? Like, years ago, kids were so familiar with death and things like that and all. And now, if somebody dies, like, it's a tragedy because it's been kept from everyone from a young age. Let the kids embrace it. So often parents don't want to go through it. They probably don't want to go through it from their own experience through life or whatever. But these kids are new to it. So it's called respect. Let them earn a bit of respect. And from that, they'll learn from it.
Now, Kira, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Kira?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Well, what is your view on that minute silence?
No, I don't agree with it in the primary schools at all.
At all? No matter what age?
No. Well, secondary schools, maybe. But primary, no. I'd rather not. I have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. Neither of them know about it. I had a bad week myself this week. It was actually Thursday or Friday before I found out about it. I didn't even find out on Wednesday. The news hasn't been on. The radio hasn't been on. They don't know anything about it.
What ages are your younger kids?
My youngest is 6.
Is 6, okay. And we were talking to Sorka a couple of minutes ago, who said her 6-year-old knows nothing about this. Does yours?
No, neither does. No, nothing at all.
And do you know, is your child gone to school?
Yeah, she is. And I was actually talking to the school about something else early this morning. And I asked them, were they doing the minute silence? And they said they were. Now, I don't know if they're including the kids, but I'm hoping they're not, because I don't want loads of questions when I get home. I've always tried to raise my kids as, you know, confident, independent girls, you know, with cop on and street smart, but within their age limit, like not scaremongering them.
And let me ask you
so
then.
They know about stranger danger and all, but I think a vicious murder now is a bit much.
Okay, so having a minute silence in the schools today, I'm assuming that it'll be done in a very tasteful way, obviously, but your worry out of this is that your child will come home from school today and start asking questions about the teacher. Now, somebody else said, you know, it'll be a minute out of their lives and they just move on with their lunch break. Do you know what I mean? That she may not even come home from school and ask any questions.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she may not. She may not know what's going on or what it's all about, or if something is said, I don't know what the teacher's going to say. She can be a very sensitive little soul. She has a hell of a lot of empathy. Like, if she sees somebody else crying, she'll get all upset because that person is crying. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect.
Okay, so if there's any obvious sadness in the school today, she'll pick that up.
She will.
And that's obviously, that is your concern. That's what you're worried about.
Yeah, because she really has so much empathy for other people. She's unreal. She just wants to take care of everybody.
So you would have preferred that this minute silence not be held or not be observed in primary schools, even though Aisling Murphy herself was a primary school teacher. So what better place to observe it?
I would prefer, in her school, okay. because they knew her, but in other schools, no, I'd prefer not to.
All right. Thanks very much indeed, Kira. 085-825-2626 is our WhatsApp number. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note to that number like Maris just did.
Morning, guys. How you doing? Yeah, just listening to the topic there about what's right for the young kids, you know. Yeah, young children need to be protected, I suppose, in all walks of life. What do you think the teacher would do? What do you think Aisling would do? I think probably she'd get young children to sing a song and be happy and remember her that way. Like, you know, don't go back to the old ways. Children should be seen and not heard. Like telling them to say silence. Maybe a round of applause and a clap in a room for her, you know. Or sing a song or draw a picture or draw something nice. And be creative and let the classrooms celebrate her life rather than staying quiet. It's a very tricky one, but, you know, a childhood lasts a lifetime. So we need to make it as best as possible for the young people because we can't be overloading them with too much in this day and age. Cheers, guys. Thanks, Mars.
All right, Mars. Thanks very much indeed. Now, Stephen, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Stephen?
Not too bad, Adrian. How are things with you, lad?
Good, thank you. Well, what's your view on this, on particularly primary school children, young primary school children observing a minute silence in school today?
Well, look at it this way. We live out in a small little country place out here in County Sligo, Adrian, and yesterday around 5 o'clock, the entire village got together and they put a little kitchen up and they put candles and they celebrated. Now, there was loads of children around, like from all ages. I think it's right to protect the children, but you have to really show them that the world's not a nice place anymore. Like, we used to be able to go around, and when I used to live in Dublin as a kid in the council estate, I felt protected because there was a sense of community about it. But now there's a sense of you're not included anymore, and people are just, they're not interested in the next person's well-being, and there's no real unity anymore amongst them. I think it's wrong to shadow our children from the realities of life, because it is a serious thing. That girl lost her life tragically.
Let me ask you, Stephen, how much information about the tragedy of Aisling Murphy's passing do children need to know?
Well, as far as the point, the girl literally went out. Now, we understand that, look, we don't know the gruesome things that led.
We don't.
And so what we don't know, we can't tell our children. So if we were to start telling our children these things, it's like a Chinese whisper. One child could hear one thing and the next child is going to tell somebody completely different. You shadow them for that. But you do tell them that it's not an accident, because accidents do happen, and I really believe this. This is not an accident. And that's why we should make sure our children understand that the outside world can be dangerous, and if we educate them...
You're saying not to tell children it was an accident?
Yeah, because it's not an accident.
Okay, so what do you tell children? Do you tell children this lady was out for a run and some bold man killed her?
Yeah, well, you tell them there that she was out on an everyday thing, and in life, unfortunately, isn't there is the truth, but you do tell her that she was, or life was taken by a bold man or woman there, we don't know, like, but obviously never respected anything to do with her, or just, I don't know why he done it or how he done it, but the matter of
But you're arguing, we've heard from other parents whose six-year-olds know nothing about this tragic murder. You believe that we should be answering their questions and we should tell the truth?
Yeah, absolutely, Adrian. And I know it's hard, but it is a thing. Look, as I was a child, when people died, the guy that said it is respect. And I know it's a hard thing for a child to take in, and that innocence is ruined in all the way. But at the end of the day, like, That teacher helped protect their innocence while they were in school.
Do you mind me asking, Stephen, from what age do you think it's appropriate then? I mean, you're saying to be honest with them. From what age do you think honesty?
She taught 6 and 7 year olds. Now, I'm not going to lie. I have an 8 year old and a 9 year old. And those guys, look, they have an older brother. And they're so advanced. And it's so hard to pinpoint now what an actual child knows. So it's so hard to turn around. Every child is different, and all the opinions that we're going to get is going to be, oh, my child knows this, but my child knows that.
of course, but my child knows other things and other children know other things. So a general rule of thumb to put across to the children at a certain age, I just say from 7 to 10, you should be taught a bit about the reality of real life. Like,
okay, so you mentioned that you were at a vigil in Sligo last night. I assume there were young children there too.
There was children there. Like, my example, when I was walking by, I had my two-year-old child on the shop. Now, he's oblivious. That kid is absolutely oblivious. But the fact of the matter is that my other kid's friend, that was also 7, 8, 9, 10, 5 and 6 as well, of different class ages, was also around there holding little candles. So they obviously had some kind of information of why they were there and why they were commemorating this teacher. So it was a lovely thing. It really was, like, for me to see yesterday was a lovely thing, like, and I just, our children should know about it, and I just, that's what I really believe, like, and I know their innocence should be protected, as you recall it said, but is there not a point in life where we have to stand up as parents and say, look, we're letting our kids go in a certain way, like, we're protecting our kids every day from other things, like, as you say, we're handing them smartphones, we're absolutely unlimited access to things, like, now it's all different, but honest to God, like, the information that we're instilling on our kids now, it's you can get anything they want, like, so regardless of whether we're trying to protect them for it, like, the games that they have access to on their computers, it's all there in front of them, like, the world today that we live in, even like the likes of Fortnite there is promoting kids to play it, and there's violence in them, so should we not teach our kids that it's a part of life? It's a part of growing up.
Okay, and obviously you believe that it is. Let me go to Rachel. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Rachel?
Hi, Adrian. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Rachel. Well, what's your view on this? Should we be telling... Should schools be having a minute silence for young kids?
A minute silence, by all means. But my kids are 9 and 10. And if they come home from school today with more worries that something bad is going to happen to me, I'm not going to be happy.
So what are you worried about?
My 9-year-old already has nightmares that something bad is going to happen to me. Or anybody she knows.
Oh my God,
that's
stressful.
If she knows something awful has happened to a teacher and she loves her teacher, I have a child that's inconsolable that I will have to ring psychologists for. So I haven't been informed that there will be a minute silence in that school. And if my children come home traumatized from being in school today, they will have an irate parent on their hand.
Would you not have asked the question before you brought them into school? And I'm not being smart. I
should have been informed. They inform us of every single last little detail on every other app they've got. If they were planning to hold a minute silence, they should have texted us all.
So if you find out today, if your 9-year-old comes home and says today, Mammy, we had a minute silence for a teacher who has gone to the angels, let's say.
I'm happy with that. I don't mean it like that. But if they went into detail, which they're not going to do, but if they gave more detail. I don't want my 9-year-old or my 10-year-old son to think that there is currently what we know to be an uncaptured murderer going around the country. I don't want my son thinking that this is because he's a boy. I don't want my 9-year-old thinking that something bad's going to happen to her.
One of our very first callers was arguing that it's a conversation we need to be having with kids from a very young age.
No. My son is 10 years old. He doesn't have this toxic masculinity, inverted commas, whatever you want to call it. He's 10. He's a little boy. You start putting that on little boys at that age, that they are the problem behind, like, other things, you're going to screw them up.
What stage do we teach little boys about respect then?
The same as you teach little girls about how to respect themselves.
Oh no, I agree, but what age is that?
I don't know, teenagers, secondary school, maybe when they're starting to get to the point where they've actually got sexual hormones.
Do you not think it needs to start in their childhood?
What are we actually talking about here in the context of what?
Teaching little boys respect.
Surely as a parent, you're teaching your children equal amounts of respect regardless of gender.
Yes, I agree.
Respect
I agree 100%. But at what age do you start, you know, teaching them about respect? You know, the kind of respect we're
From
talking
the age
about
they can understand
gender violence.
Somebody.
Okay, do you think your 10-year-old can understand?
To respect girls?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that a conversation
he lives
that
in
you...
a house with his mother, his oldest sister, and his little sister. He is the only boy in a house full of girls.
Okay, so he
so
knows.
He definitely knows how to respect women.
So if...
That's because he knows how to respect people. He hasn't been taught specifically to respect women. He's been taught to specifically respect people.
Okay.
To show somebody
what
respect.
What about the conversation of, now I know this isn't the same thing and it's nothing to do with this current conversation, but the conversation about consent. When do you have that with your child?
When they're old enough, like, I'm sorry, but primary school children talking about consent, they don't even have sexual hormones to even have, I'm not going to be vulgar on your podcast, but they don't have the capability to have an erection. They're children.
But you can teach kids respect from a young age without getting into...
But if you're teaching 10-year-old boys about consent, you're teaching them about sex at 10.
I was 10 years old when our school did sex education.
Unconsensual
so,
sex
I mean,
at 10.
I knew about the birds and the bees.
Teaching boys at 10 about rape.
But why can't we educate our kids from
because
a young age so that they can take it with them into adulthood, that they learn from a young age and it grows with them and in them?
Have you got any children?
I do. I have two children, yes.
Have you got any sons?
I do. I have a son and a daughter. So I understand both sides of the coin. Well, actually, they're very young. Sorry?
They're very young.
They're very young.
How old do you think you would feel comfortable with your son being told about rape?
I don't think.
How old do you think
sorry,
you're going to be?
Sorry, I don't think you can use the same
10.
Age for every child. I think it is dependent on what you think your child is able to handle, because some kids are more sensitive than others. But let me tell you, there are girls. Sorry, hang on. There are girls getting their periods at 9 and 10 years old. So what? Do you wait until
That's
they're 13?
That's a bodily function. But that happens to every single woman, no matter what
age
they become.
Kids need to be aware of respect. They need to be aware of consent. They need to be aware of their bodies. Listen, 10-year-olds are watching. Some 10-year-olds are watching porn on phones.
My children.
I'm not saying that's okay, but let's be real here. There are, Adrian, kids with smartphones watching pornography and dirty videos.
Well, put it this way: to any parent out there, if your child is watching pornography on their phone at 10 years old, you have gone fucked up.
Oh,
absolutely, I 100%
agree.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter here and the reality is that it happens. Whether it, and you know what?
Well,
it might not necessarily be the parent's fault
them.
Because it could be another student in the school who has a phone and says to your child, did you see this
student.
Video of a woman being violently battered?
The children about rape at 10.
Oh, we're not talking about rape here. We're talking about respect. There are ways you can word things without being too graphic or too vivid. You can teach your kids with respect without shattering their innocence.
Okay, one second. Sorry, my son is 10 years old, right? And he is in no way, shape or form in an area of his life where he's even thinking about girls in Crushland. Mm. He's Fortnite and computers laser focused. That is his whole life, is his computer. He loves his computer. He is supervised and he is in within airshot every single time he's on it.
Let me read a message that's just come into us this very second from Erica. And she says, Rachel, can your kids breathe with all that cotton wool they're wrapped up in?
My kids aren't wrapped up in cotton wool. They're just not exposed to adult matters at 9 and 10 years old.
Simple as.
Children don't need to be taught about rape and respecting the opposite gender in regards to not being creepy, I'm assuming what we mean when we're saying respecting women.
Yes.
Not being creepy. How is a 10-year-old child creepy? How are you ever going to feel creepy?
Rachel,
as
but
a
I
woman?
Have to disagree
sorry,
with you here.
Me.
I think
you
you're not giving 10-year-olds
Can I just finish my sentence once, please? How can you, as a grown woman, feel creeped out by a 10-year-old child?
Yeah, as a grown woman, you mightn't, but another child
might. Yes. I don't think you're giving children enough credit, Rachel, for how much that they, for how resilient they are, or how much they already know. Children are not as naive. And believe me, your children are not as naive as you are making them out to be. They might not talk to you.
I'm not saying they're naive. I'm just saying they're not aware of the adult world that they're not supposed to be aware of at 9 and 10 years old.
There are ways of teaching kids without... Yes, 100%, and that's great. But there are ways of teaching kids respect and teaching kids about consent and how to behave.
Teach them gender neutral respect. Don't teach boys that they have to respect girls and girls that they only have to respect themselves.
Yes, we all need to respect each other.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line.
Everybody has to respect each other, and you can't expect one gender
to
never let me finish
in the same way.
No, I can't hear both of you talking. Katie, say what you said there again.
I am the mother of a son and a daughter, and I will teach them both respect in the same ways. Do I have to destroy their innocence by doing so? No, there are ways around everything. There are ways around teaching your kids about all different types of things. But I mean to...
We agree completely on that.
Sorry?
We agree completely on that.
Okay, so you're saying that a 10-year-old shouldn't know about, you know...
Adult issues.
Well, sex is an adult issue. How do you feel about a 10-year-old...
Sex is an adult issue.
Yes. How do you feel about a 10-year-old not about sex?
Very uncomfortable. They're 10. Okay.
I was taught sex. I had sex education at 10 years old.
I'm fully comfortable with them being taught sex education in school about their bodies and how they work and to expect changes and all the things that we would have been taught in school. Absolutely no problem. And they can come to me if they have any questions whatsoever. I will answer them as honestly as I possibly can. But do I need my 9 and 10-year-old knowing the act of sex and actually how it works? God, no. They're 10.
Okay, all right, stay there for 1 second. I want to squeeze in one last call, and that's you, Ronan. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you? Oh, no, Ronan's gone. I think. Is Ronan gone? Yeah, Ronan is gone. We'll try and get him back. If you want to get a quick comment in on this conversation, 085-825-2626 is our WhatsApp number. We're talking about the minute silence observed in schools. Let's have a listen to this from Ronan, or Keith.
Me again. The parents out there not realise, like, by explaining things like this to their children now, especially young boys, like, somewhere along the line, they could be saving a life by teaching them at this age. Now, that kid gets older, and he does what that other man done to that woman there the other day. There's another tragedy. So why wrap them up in cotton wool when you can teach them how to go out into the world and respect each other, rather than having a breakdown whatever and taking somebody's life? Like, it's early days. You should be done.
All right, now, Ronan, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Ronan?
Good, thanks.
Now, what did you want to say on this?
Oh, the same as that gentleman there. Look, I was in school. I remember similar things. Well, not similar to this, but having minute silences and stuff for tragedies that happen. Exactly what that man said. Why wrap up society in cotton wool? They need to be aware that there's weirdos everywhere. And just let them be aware.
They need to be aware that there's weirdos everywhere. What do you mean by that?
Well, society's dangerous. It's a completely different world we all live in. And like, I have 2 small kids, and I'd have no problem with them being told in school because it's a curriculum that they're enrolled in, and you just have to roll with it and let it happen.
You see, there's a very fine line between teaching children to be aware and instilling a fear into children and making them paranoid. And that's where you kind of have to find the balance, because you don't want kids to be going around afraid of their own shadow at the same time.
No, I totally agree.
You want them to mind themselves. You want them to look after themselves.
That's the worst case scenario. So, I wouldn't anticipate that happening. They need to be aware of it because you have to point out these things to kids. It's not like you're rubbing a nose in it or anything. They're going into school. It's a minute silence. Why are we doing a minute silence? Well, because there's a tragedy that happened. This lady, for whatever way they want to butter it up to the small children and let them know, let them be aware of it. We're having a minute silence to mark her passing. What's the problem? What's the big deal?
Well, as you could hear, a lot of people do have a problem with it. Adina, you're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Adina.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Good. What did you want to say on this?
Yeah, I'm not completely in a position of holding the minutes of silence, but I just don't see the point of it, really, especially if we're not going to give children the right context and all the details. So I just found out about the fact that they're going to hold this minutes of silence last night, and I found myself under pressure to talk about this with my 6-year-old in the car on our way to school, because I just wanted her to know things from me.
And let me ask you then, Adina, how did you have that conversation? What did you say?
I told her that something horrible happened to a school teacher, and therefore they kind of wanted to respect her and pay tribute to her, and to make sure that, you know, that doesn't happen to other teachers and other people.
I think we also, this is also about teaching children empathy. You know, that they wrap them in cotton wool, fair enough, they've no idea what's going on in the world, but it's also about teaching them, you know, that human life, how the value of human life, and that bad things happen, and, you know, we can stand together in solidarity, and you can mourn as a nation. I don't think, kids are like sponges, they know what's going on. And any parent who says, my child is absolutely unaware of what's going on, if your child is of an understanding age and they're verbal and, you know, they can understand they know what's going on. They might not know the whole story, but they're hearing snippets on the news, on the radio. So no matter how much you try to protect your child, there is no way you can fully protect them.
And Adina, let me ask you, you had this conversation yesterday with your six-year-old.
Well, just today.
Oh, just today. Okay. And this is 6 days after this story broke. So were you forced, if you like, to have to explain this story?
I was indeed, and I wouldn't have wanted her to know about it otherwise.
Okay, so because the minute silence forced you to have to tell your child what had happened to Aisling Murphy. Well, not obviously in great detail, but you still had to tell her about the story.
Yes, and what I have a problem with is the underlying message of gendered violence, which is more complex, and I don't think that kids at the age of six would definitely have to know about this.
I agree, but we can also still, as I said to the last caller, teach our kids respect. And, you know, let's not just put it on them when they get into their teenagers. Let's let them learn about respect in an innocent way from when they start school, so that it can grow with them and in them, and they will have respect from the get-go.
Maybe. I think teaching respect actually starts much earlier. I think children imitate us, and they look at our relationships and how we act in our relationships, and I think we have to teach them boundaries by showing them and leading by example.
Adina, great to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. So there's a parent who, because of the minute silence in schools today, felt
she had to
explain. Let's just squeeze in Steve.
Adrian, I agree with him there when he said there's weirdos everywhere, because if you go back now, there, I think it was about a year and a half ago, there was a young guy up here in Sligo that was killed in McDonald's. Well, he worked in McDonald's, but as he came back, he just went into his home, and there was a guy there that suffered from schizophrenia, and he was just left in the house on his own. The guy obviously had mental issues, and as a result, as the young kid going home, he went home, the guy next door believed he was making a racket and went in and brutally murdered him. And that was only a kid, so there's absolutely weirdos everywhere. That guy thought he was going home to the safety of his own home.
Well, that's a fair point. All right, well, look, that's just about it from this latest Opinions Matter podcast. If you enjoyed today's podcast, or even if you didn't, please hit subscribe or follow, and you'll be notified when we upload a new podcast. Thanks very much indeed for listening.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.